This week's 90 Day Fiancé recap on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Word Forest. Download Word Forest for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Keeping your body in shape is important. Just ask Natalie. Very important to stay in shape, but it's also important to keep your mind sharp. That's why she has such a high IQ. I've been leveling up my focus with Word Forest. Word Forest is my new favorite game. It's a word puzzle app, and it's free. Word Forest is an app made for word search addicts. Connect letters in any direction to form hidden words and matches. It has over 2,000 levels, so you never get bored playing. It starts easy, but gets harder as you get better. And it's fun. Find as many words as possible to earn bonus coins and uncover hidden words. Word Forest is a relaxing game with a nature setting. Although Natalie, she doesn't like the wood. You will. It's a great way to keep your mind sharp and grow your vocabulary. Put yourself to the test in this fun and addicting brain game. And right now, Word Forest is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. And if you like Natalie, just going around looking for things all over the place, you'll love looking for all these words. Stop mindlessly scrolling through social media and keep your mind sharp. Just go to Apple or the Google Store and search for Word Forest. Download Word Forest for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back to talk about 90 Day Fiancé week number 8. A great week of 90 Day Fiancé last night on TLC. Very excited to break it down with the panel. Let's welcome in a man who is covering all things 90 Day Fiancé on Rob as a podcast. Here is Mr. 90 Day Fiancé, Puya Zavakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing phenomenal, Rob. I had a rough week. I slept until 1 yesterday, slept until about 8, 9 today. Took a nap before this podcast. You know, at least I can do is a little bit of self-care. And that's what I did. I indulged.
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
Also, Puya, could I see your phone real quick?
Yeah, I took the password off for you already.
Oh.
I got you. Yeah.
All right. It's almost like you were prepared for this question. You seemed ready.
No. Yeah, I just wanted you to trust me. That's
why. Did you know I was going to ask that?
No.
No. I don't know. You seemed a little quick to say yes to that very odd request. Okay. All right. And then, boy, we are very lucky once again. We've had such great guests here on the 90 Day Fiancé Recaps. She is the co-host of a brand new podcast you could hear on the Rehap Up's feed, the Wrestling Rehap Up. Please welcome the great Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Puya. I'm just here to get the answer to this question. Is butter good for you?
It's good for your mind, I hear.
I feel suspicious about that, but I guess we'll figure that out as we go along.
Yes. Mari is the co-host of a brand new Rehap Up. Just had episode number 2. She and Matt Scott are going through all things wrestling. Mari, how does the world of wrestling compare to the world of TLC 90 Day Fiancé?
Oh, you have your big characters, you have your big characters, you have your Brandons, your Julias, which is your Roman Reigns, your Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Then you have your characters that you want to skip every so often. So we got our Matt and Natalie's, our heel team. They're the bad guy team, you know, shades of some retribution there. So it's fun. I love talking about wrestling, and I'm going to love talking about this episode of 90 Day Fiancé.
So Mari and Matt are counting down till WrestleMania. This is the best time of the year for wrestling. Puya, do you feel like that TLC could have some sort of like a pay-per-view, some sort of like TLC 90 Day Fiancé Mania, that it was like a pay-per-view of like all of like the big events for the couples, like culminating in one night?
I think so. I think that would be a good pay-per-view. I think they put it on Discovery Plus. It would be good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the T stands for, but the LC could stand for liars and cheats. I feel like the marketing is on the wall. They just need to capitalize on it.
Yeah. Mari, do you think there's one person from this season of 90 Day Fiancé that might be able to make the leap to sports entertainment?
He might be too soft-spoken, but Mike has the body and the build for iconic classic wrestler.
His mom called him an elephant.
Yes. Yes. And then his mom calling him an elephant baby, and then Natalie wanting to have kids right after that. I was like, why would you? Why? She just told you not a reason you shouldn't. So yeah, definitely. And
point.
Maybe we could have like a visa on a pole match. Like whoever wins the match gets their K-1 visa sooner.
Yeah. I'll say, don't cut out Julia. I think that she could be diva.
A diva. Yeah. She would be a good diva.
Yeah.
And embody that term in the good way, the good diva wrestling. She would be it. I put money on her.
Okay. Mari, we always like to ask the guests, who are the people that you want to talk about?
Man, you guys have had a trend of going Julia and Brandon first.
Yes.
But Puya knows when I come on here, I like to a slow build. I like to get it up and ramp it up. So, like other people, let's go with Jovi and Yara, because they had a big development. They had a big development, but not much screen time.
Yeah.
So let's start with them. So the first thing we see is the continuation from last week. Yara has been feeling sick. Her friend pointed out to her, well, hey, girl, you might be pregnant. It opens up with her going to the supermarket and getting a pregnancy test. And then she having the pregnancy test and she's on the phone with her friend and she's like, look at this. I was looking at the stick. I didn't pause it or anything. When I first looked at the stick, I was like, I only see one line. I think it's negative. Mm-hmm. But then once she talked to her friend, she said it was positive. And I was like, oh, snap. And that was literally all we got.
Yeah.
We got her saying that she was pregnant. She's saying like, oh my God, I don't know if we're ready for this. And that was their first clip. And then their last clip was Jovi coming home and being drunk at the airport. So I was like, wow, how did we not get any more information from this? But yeah, Yara's possibly pregnant and Jovi just came home.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this was wild because both you and I agreed, like, no way Yara is pregnant. That would have been like in the teaser trailer, that would have been their storyline this season. And there she is. I was as surprised as anybody.
Yeah, no, same. I did. I do have to say, you know, shout out to the fans. I've been getting some tweets. I got a tweet with the screenshot, Mari, of this.
Okay.
There is indeed one line. And the person who tweeted at me said, just a little wink when you do this week's podcast, Yara's test had one line, not pregnant. And then in the next time on, when she does another test, we see that that little scene where Jovi says, oh, so you were lying to me. You aren't pregnant. Mm-hmm. I think she misread it and they just rode with it. They're like, okay, we're not going to correct her.
Yara.
It's a bad thing to misread, Yara. It's okay. You're fine now, but damn.
See, I would laugh about these things where that they have these pregnancy tests that are like have like a screen that's like, well, why do you need this? So, well, it could be you misread it. You'd be complicated.
Yeah, and I could, because I was staring. I've still lost my remote, so I didn't get a chance to pause it. But I saw one line, and I was like, oh, that's great. She's negative. But then she started doing the thing with her friend. I'm like, what's she trying to do? You don't tell people that you're negative. And then she said she was positive. I was like, I don't think that's how that worked. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how she got it confused. Well, she definitely didn't get the one that says pregnant or not pregnant.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
The woman that helped her in the store, I thought that was very interesting that she helped her in the store, and then she gave her the pregnancy test, and then she said to her, good luck. And Mari, I was like, oh, that's probably the best thing to say to somebody who's buying a pregnancy test.
Well, so drawing from my personal experience, because I know we love to do that on this podcast.
Yeah.
When I went to go get my pregnancy test for when I found out I was pregnant with my son, the lady at the counter, she looked at me and she was like, she like made this face that was just like so happy, like hoping that I was pregnant. Me, I was hoping I was pregnant.
Yes.
So I think they can catch your vibe.
Yeah.
So I think that lady caught Yara's vibe and was like, ooh. Girl, good luck.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, especially if it's a woman, if it's a woman, I think they can catch your vibe and they can, like, you know, feel your energy and try and project onto you what they think you might need in that moment.
Yeah. Not to give TMI, I have actually purchased many pregnancy tests that usually at the discretion of the First Lady of Podcasts is like, it's 2 o'clock. All right, then go to the store. We need to buy them, and then she's like, I didn't believe that one. Get it again.
Yep. So what was your experience? What did the clerk do to you? They're just like, yeah, here you go.
Well, I've never, this is the same sort of thing. And again, I'm not buying the glow in the dark prophylactics either. But oh, I kind of feel like that I try to like not talk to a lot of people in the store and just go buy it. And then also like, oh, let me also buy toothpaste and let me also buy like two other things. And then just go like, I'm not
in there.
Yeah. Asking the person behind the counter for any assistance.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, this is wild. And then imagine being Yara's friend, who you're on FaceTime, and she's like holding up like a pregnancy test in your in the phone. Like, I can't.
I can't read that.
Yeah, it's selfie cam. It's on over Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi could be shoddy. It's grainy. Like, how am I supposed to be able to see this? Just tell me what it is. Like, I don't need to be show and telling here.
Also, that Puya, I noticed something interesting about Yara. That she comes from Ukraine. She comes to New Orleans, Louisiana. Her sweatshirt, Staten Island.
Hey, listen. If Natalie was in that room, she'd be like, Yara, very stylish, Yara. She really stylish.
Where does it come from? Where'd she get Staten Island sweatshirt from?
I don't know. She's been wearing some strange attire with like random writings on them. I just think 100% this was, I don't think she could tell you where Staten Island is. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's like a big fan or anything, like an enthusiast. I don't know. Maybe, but I would bet on the side of no. It's just she liked the color of it or something. I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It's a nice pink color. It just seems like a weird call for Yara or Jovi or, you know, anybody that we've seen in this story to have any connection to Staten Island. Mm. I don't know.
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah. All right. So she goes and gets Jovi from the airport, Mari. And then the whole thing ends up getting blown up over Jovi's Jack and Coke.
Yeah. So she said he was in. Where did she say he was in? It was a Caribbean area, right? Like he was coming from.
Was it Guyana?
Guyana. Yes. Thank you. Guyana.
Yeah.
So it must have been 5 o'clock there. I don't know what he was thinking for, like, drinking rum and coke at 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, Yara can be a little much, but that wasn't that, to me. I was like, I kind of agree with her. Like, dude, it is too early for this, and he's just laughing and kicking and just so excited. And I get he kind of was like, he wanted her to like, oh, I missed you and all that, but I'm sorry, you're drunk. It's before 9 a.m. I'm concerned, sir.
Yeah. And Puya, he's like, oh, what's she talking about? She has a drink on the plane all the time. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Puya. This was not a Jack and Coke from the plane.
Didn't look like it. You think they're going to be like, yeah, take it with you. No. Also, he mentioned when she called, he was like, I'm in the bathroom changing. To what, leisure wear? Like, you weren't coming from any. No, this was 100%. He got her in early. He's like,
they don't have a 24 ounce Jack and Coke on the flight.
And they give you, they don't give you that glass should be like two pinkies big. Like one cube of ice fits in that thing. It's almost a shot, pretty much. That's all you're getting on the plane. This was 100% not plain, a plain drink. So
that was the biggest cup I've ever seen.
Yeah. And if I may advocate, let's say Yara does do this. Jovi, Yara's taking longer flights than you, and Yara's taking like hella connections to get to you and layovers. A bev is fine. I'm sure she's not rolling out with a half glass of tequila like onto the tarmac. Like, she would have left that at the plane.
Yeah.
Visibly intoxicated too. It's not like he was clearly intoxicated.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, I want you to drop that, get rid of it. And he's like, oh, hold on, let me just, he's like, just keep going back to, all right, let me just finish it and then I'll throw it away. He doesn't take a hint, Jovi.
I would have been so scared if I had just found out I was pregnant and then this is my baby father coming off, drunk off a plane at 9 a.m.
Yeah. And that was it we got from them, Ari.
Yeah, that was it. And I think this episode has been a lot, like, there's been major development in the ones that had the smaller amount of time. And then we got, like, a lot of time from other couples that may have just, you know, not moved the needle in a sense of, like, big, big events, you know? So I'm glad we got them out of the way.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens next week when she's going to reveal to Jovi. And that's an interesting plot twist, Booyah, that maybe the misread pregnancy test. False positive.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because in the preview, she tells him, it looks like he's examining one, and he's like, oh, so you were lying to me. Which right. is the worst thing you could say. I feel like Jovi really? Does not recognize anything, can't read a room. Can barely read the instructions for a margarita. That's why he's rocking a Jack and Coke in a plastic cup. Yeah, no, Jovi's a phenomenon and not in the way you want a phenomenon to be.
And then did it in the clip before that, he had said something like, she just got to, I don't really believe her because she's just gotten to the U.S. and now all of a sudden she's pregnant.
Oh, I'm yeah.
Like, yeah, he's the worst.
All of a sudden?
Like, I mean, Mar, you want to weigh in on then when she was pregnant and then he left her in Albania?
Her?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, because I to myself have been telling you guys all of my thoughts because I listen to the podcast and talk like it, mm-hmm. like I'm on it. But Jovi and Yara, like she wants him to change his job, but. Like you've known what his job was. You know he loves his job. This is the best thing for you guys before you move to the U.S. I think she was okay with it. Like she said, she was okay with it when she could be at home and having fun and missing him, but still having things to do. But the moment she's in the U.S. and yeah. she has nothing to like distract her, she doesn't like the situation. So I think that's kind of unfair. For her to then like kind of go back and ask him to get a new job. But they clearly have a lot of things to work on. And also his mother, like I get, she doesn't want to have a wedding because she doesn't want her family involved. That I see that's problematic and that might not be okay. You know, in a sense, it's not fair. However, having had a wedding, I hate when people try to tell people how to have their wedding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they say they want to elope to Vegas, let them elope to Vegas. Like, there's nothing more annoying than people trying to, like, step over your toes on a wedding. And apparently this is the season of parents overstepping. So, it's been so good to watch. Jovi and Yara have been an interesting couple, new couple to the mix. So I'm still rolling with them. I'm still vibing with them. I like them. Just for the drama.
Yeah. Booyah, I haven't made it to the end of a 90-day fiance season. Like, where do we end the story? Like, are we ending with weddings for everybody that stays together?
Typically, that's where the show will start ending. Yeah, it's like the penultimate episode and the last episode are typically the ride up to like the wedding venue, the ceremony and all that. So we're definitely going to get there. They don't all happen together. It'll be like cut couple in the penultimate, couple in the finale.
Yeah,
that kind of vibe. But that's kind of where they close the chapter on the season.
OK, Mari, where do you want to go next?
Let's see. OK, so I think this is a good spot to go with, let's throw some shade at Andrew and Amira. Let's do that. Because their segments, they did have a lot of segments. Wow. So we get Amira landing back in France after her very harrowing or harrowing, whatever, ordeal being detained. Yeah. Like, I feel so sorry for her. Like, I cannot imagine the fear, you know, being detained for 3 days with no contact. Like, that is such like a messed up thing to go through. And I'm glad that she's like realizing she needs to heal from that. So she gets back to France. She talks to her dad. Her dad is hilarious because he hates Andrew. Like, he hates Andrew with a passion. He's barely met that man and he hates Andrew. And I'm like, I get it, Dad. I get it. After this episode, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. And Amira was talking about how She was held in that a large room with like no walls and stuff. They took all of her. They took her passport. They took her watch. They took everything. Then 3 days later, she was put on a plane back to France. And then she said, right when they were about to land, that's when they gave her all of her stuff back. And in the documentation as to why she got deported back to France, they said she didn't have a passport, but then her passport was in the documents that they sent back. I was like, I don't like that. Like, that's shady to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's real, real shady. But other than that, Amira still talks to her dad and says she still wants to make it work with Andrew. And the last confessional we get, no, the last confessional we get from her on that scene is that she has to make it work between her dad and Andrew. Cut to Andrew over here living his best life. Apparently he hasn't contacted her because we get him he's eating everywhere, talking about, oh, I have an extra spoon because I wish Amira was here.
Yeah.
Shots of him looking into the sunset. Like, I wish Amira was here.
Yeah. Mario, let me play a clip. Here's Andrew in Puerto Vallarta.
But now that Amira is safe, the least I can do is do a little bit of self-care and make the best of this situation.
I hate this man. I hate this man just about as much as Amira's father does now. Yes. Because how are you not just blowing up her phone? Like, I get, y'all were saying last episode that she was saying she might need her space, or he wants to give her space. No. Like, you should be as concerned. You should be checking up on her. Like, I do get the not rushing home because you paid for all this stuff, but don't act like you're having that much fun. Like, I need you to take the fun down two whole notches. He's out here getting massages. He's dirt biking. He's having steaks. Said he needs healing. Sir, what do you need healing from? What do you need healing from?
Bug bites or something. Mosquitoes out there. I don't know. Here's the thing. So the 90 Day Twitter account does a good job of tweeting out one or two lines of stuff that they don't mention on the show. Andrew booked this ATV excursion at the airport the day he arrived. He was looking forward to it from that moment. He's like, well, book them. Might as well use the booking.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rob, in fairness, how did he know that Amira wasn't being held somewhere along the ATV course? I mean, leave no stone unturned.
I mean, listen, I'll book a reservation to somewhere. If my date can't show up and is having a bad time, I'm not listen, steak's not going to order itself. I'm just not going to go. I'm going to stay home in solidarity. Mm-hmm. But very much, I do think that last week I was like, okay, you know what? He was giving her a little bit of time to deal with this stuff. She's gonna she's been on high stress. She's flying. But it sounds like that all happened. He's still not saying anything. The best he's done is grab an extra spoon so he can look at it and feel pouty.
Yeah. But I think it's all for show. He knows this is for the show. He's like, well, this ice cream doesn't taste the same because Mira's not with me, but I have an extra spoon here to remind me of her. That it's,
can I say something? Yeah. It tastes better because there's more of it for you. There's more volume for you, buddy. I know you're a fan of that. I will say,
were there sprinkles on that, Puya? Did you catch that?
There were no sprinkles. At least he made one right decision.
No Jimmy.
Waste of grams and aesthetic on that plate. I'm glad he did not do that very much. So I will say the whole rejection thing with Amira having to fly back. Through some sleuthing, the internet, the Reddit has found her. So I've mentioned this website, the visajourney.com website, where a lot of the K-1 applicants go and they discuss their stuff. And that's how you learn approximately what everyone's process is going to be at any given time. Someone found her account and everyone had said the person who did, because they talked about this loophole, the person who found this loophole had said to get a round trip ticket.
Yeah.
You need a return ticket booked. They went one way with the booking of the ticket. So then that doesn't come off great, especially because she's not, her visa's not for the States. Her visa's from her visa's for the States. Her ticket is in Mexico. So that's not a good sign of what if this person's not going to be turning back, leaving? They might just be here to hide, pop a squat. So then they were not okay with that. I think key would have been to get a return ticket, which they did not have.
Are any of us surprised that Andrew did this half-assed? Because I am not. And I think what was the worst part of this their whole journey this episode was in the last clip, Andrew and Amira finally talk. They said they talked on day 32 from their expiration. Amira landed with how many days left? 39?
Oh, that's very good.
39 is when we started the episode when he was eating the ice cream. So it's been a full week.
Full week since they've talked to each other. He gets on the phone with her, asks her how she's doing once, and then goes on to describe all of the great things he's been doing in Mexico. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
He's
like,
giving her FOMO.
Love this steakhouse.
Yeah.
Right. It's a famous adage. Don't let your woman know you're having fun without her. Because that is the surefire way to get you in trouble. And I was mad for Amira. I'm like, why are you telling her all this stuff? And she's sitting over here like, I still feel bad. I'm still trying to recover. And he's just, this is when I finally saw what you were talking about last week, Puya, with him like, it did feel like some emotional manipulation because he was saying like, I'm doing this because Wiv's already here and I really wish you were here. And then he says, well, I can't wait till we try and figure it out and do it again. And she's like, are you serious right now? I just got back. I was held in a detention center for 3 days. And you're already talking about us trying to try again with this loophole. Like, I'm still traumatized. Mm-hmm. I haven't had massages and dirt bikes. Like, I'm still traumatized. And then him to like kind of walk back, he's like, oh, no. I was just throwing it out there. I don't know. And then Amira telling us to Cam that she's starting to second guess him because, her dad doesn't like him, and him bringing up trying again so soon. I can't imagine that the visa process hasn't figured something out for the coronavirus ones. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Well, I can tell you the reason me and Liana, we had planned she was going to drive up to me with a car so I would move all my stuff. But then the news came that the borders were going to shut down. I got a ticket 2 days prior to the border shutting down, and I just flew through. Because if the borders did close, my visa would have expired in June, and I would have had to reset, just reapply the whole thing. They had no extensions in plan at all. So it is sensitive. We're like, if they can't make it happen, they definitely have to give up another year of their lives reapplying. She has to do the medical check again. She has to do the interview again. They have to pay for all that again. So is that. And obviously, it sounds like Amira's in a place where she's like, if we have to wait, we have to wait. There's clearly some stuff that we need to work out. And Andrew's a big idiot, but he is very smart in emotional manipulation. The way he kind of is able to make it even seem to her of like, well, I spent all this time and money to do this. It's a shame that you messed it up by not being here. Like, I have to have this fun, but it's on you that I'm having it alone. So he's able to do that. And then to also try and like push the agenda of like, we got to try again. We see in the preview that he's going to bring up Serbia as another entry point. He's not going to let this go. And she's the one that has to
work.
So it's I've also read about this as well. It's essentially the same as the Mexico entry point where Serbia, I guess, has been lax and they're a point that's not going to have as much contention slash not even that, but someone on the website said it worked for them. And that's what he's doing. If anyone says it works for me, it's like, good enough.
So what's the plan that Serbia was not on the COVID travel ban area? So we'll fly to Serbia and then we'll fly in together from there.
Well, not even
she'll fly in from there.
I think she'll fly in from there. I think that was the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Andrew can't even go to France because Americans are banned from most of the European countries now. Mm. So I'm just saying I shouldn't be surprised because like bureaucratic red tape and all that. But at this point, you would think that the government would have some answer for these people that have gotten their visas during this time. I mean, we'll see, I guess, with Lisa and Ryan. She says that their process just completely stopped and they don't even know when it's going to start back up again. So that's really unfortunate. I do feel bad for like real couples out there. I don't you know, I don't know about these TLC ones, but like I really hope that, you know, these people can be reunited with the people that they actually love, you know?
And maybe it would be different if we like ever saw like any sort of like positive interaction between the two of them. But we've seen like very little of like what is like the good part of this relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you guys, too, because like I've been watching and I'm really when they got on this phone call, I was trying to think to myself, when have I even seen them on a phone call together, like outside of this trip? And I really cannot think of a time where we actually just saw them loving up on each other, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it was the first episode when he was rocking some kind of weird top hat at home. That was the thing that happened. And then other than that, it's been like the footage of them meeting in Vegas. But you're absolutely right there, because literally the minute he's landed, this is kind of like the first real time they've spoken. But I mean, imagine being Amir getting on that phone call thinking, OK, I'm going to share my experience with him and make him aware. And he gives her no window to do that. And I was like, well, now I don't want to be the you know, the a-hole who's going to bring this down and be a downer in this conversation. So again, he somehow makes it so that he can put the like put it back on her. And it just makes no sense why he's allowed to or how he gets away with it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. No. Team Amir's dad.
Hamdi's a real one. He knows he's not a man. That's right. I mean, I'm not one to be like, let's gender it. But in that moment, I was like, you're right, Hamdi. You're absolutely right. When it comes to Andrew, you're 100% accurate. He is not someone that can do anything.
Yeah. And big I told you so energy from dad.
Oh, yeah.
Big. Yeah.
Dad was like, I don't ask for much. I'm going to use this. This is my opportunity now. I'm going to make this happen.
Okay. Anything else on Andrew and Amira? No.
Not that I can think of.
Okay. What do you think will we get Andrew coming back from Puerto Vallarta? Like, I'm interested to know, like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, there's no way he ends the series there. He's definitely flying back to his mama daycare. That's definitely happening. And we're going to see him interacting with his mom about all this and like really putting the guilt on thick that like he was so lonely and all that jazz. There's no way this is where it ends with him.
Yeah. Okay.
Andrew, I'm so disappointed.
All right.
I'm excited though. Next episode, we're going to maybe see the walking tour. We're going to see the food tour is going on. So we'll follow him on his journey.
Yeah. He hasn't done any scuba diving or anything like that yet. So maybe some water trips. Okay. All right. Mike and Natalie, Brandon and Julia, or Stephanie and Ryan. Three heavy hitters.
Where do we end up on? Let's go with Mike and Natalie because I think we had a lot from them. We had a lot. And I do have a lot of things about them.
Yes. They have a lot of things.
Yeah, I would say, like, they opened up saying that they had gotten on better terms because Mike's mom was coming, so that was probably that you know, we need to squash this so we look good in front of her
also,
type thing.
Yeah, hard to be on worse terms than we ended the last episode with a low class drunk man.
how much is your IQ? How high is your IQ? So they said they're on better terms. Natalie is concerned about his mom knowing about their fight. I don't understand how she would think that his mom wouldn't know about the fight and wouldn't know about her giving the ring back. Yeah. So
does Mike's mom watch 90 Days the Other Way?
She better.
I feel like she should. That's definitely she's their demographic. I would be.
Yeah.
You know, her son is on the big screen.
Has this aired? So I'm taking it that this seems like February 2020. When did Mike's season of 90 Days the Other Way air?
When you were talking about it on Renap, that was a while back. I think we looked it up. It was sometime in later 2019, I believe, right? Second half of 2019. Yeah. So at least like the first half of it would have been out by the time they were recording again.
Yeah.
So
do you think that that for people like Mike and Natalie, where they've been a part of the other shows, that do we know is there any overlap with when their shows are airing? Because this was something like when Nicole and I used to talk about the Jersey Shore, like there was like a whole thing where it would like melt your brain to think about it. But like when they were filming the Jersey Shore season three, the Jersey Shore season two was airing, and there were things that were happening in the Jersey Shore season two that was airing that was causing them to fight in Jersey Shore season three.
Oh.
But they never mentioned that the fight was over, that they had seen like a, like, I think it was the horrible, I mean, they should be on one of these shows, Ronnie and Sammy Sweetheart. Like Sammy Sweetheart saw Ronnie like hooking up with somebody that was it, that something that happened in Jersey Shore season two, and it made them get into a huge fight in Jersey Shore season three.
The infamous letter. Did she find letter, out
the whole thing. Letter? Yeah. Yeah. So, that, so I wonder, like, is any part of Mike and Natalie's story airing at the time when they, you know, do they, like, it doesn't seem like they have a watch party or anything like that. But like, you know, with everything coming up about the ring and like all that stuff, I do wonder, like, could that be airing at the time that they're sort of like still reliving this?
It's very interesting because it very well could be. I know that with the more recent seasons, we have the 90-day blank strikes back, which is essentially the couples from that season watching the episodes of that season, like, and then answering social media posts that they keep seeing about it as it pops up. So they definitely do have a show now where they capitalize on this stuff and they make them watch it. And I do know from prior knowledge that usually when they record the tell-all, is somewhere with like six episodes remaining into the season. Like they record the tell-alls usually in the middle of the season. So they've definitely at least seen like seven episodes while they're doing that. So as far as like recording this season right after the other one, I'm not sure, but I do know that they at least have seen a handful of episodes regardless going into where they are right now.
I think it also depends on where they're at in the process, because if I remember correctly, Mike and Natalie, they had applied for the visa and they were waiting for it. And remember, Natalie was like, it's been so long. I haven't seen you. I just want to see you. And I don't wait. Yeah. Remember, I don't want to wait for the visa. So Mike spent all of his money to go to Ukraine to go see her to be and when they were on Before the 90 Days. So that would explain why they go there. They have that fight. He comes back. They're still trying to process that fight, and then their visa actually gets goes through. So that's the hesitancy we saw at the beginning of this show, because I'm assuming there just was not enough time in between him coming back and their visa being approved that before they could work this out. And then we're reaping the benefits of seeing them trying to work that out right now. This variation.
That's a good point. Could be the fact of the matter could be that because they ended up getting the visa they did, they could have been an abrupt addition to the season. They might have not been planned from the jump.
Got it.
To be here, yeah.
Right. Oh, so just to fact check myself. So they were on 90 Day Fiancé season 7?
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So this is like back-to-back. I didn't know you could come back for another season of 90 Day Fiancé. I thought you could cross over from the other way to the regular show, to the mothership.
Yeah, no, they've done this. They've done this with other, they've done this where they've had a couple end up on the same, so they've been on the 90 Day Fiancé the other, not the other way, before the 90 Days for two seasons straight. Mm-hmm. We had Darcy was involved with that for a while. Yeah. So they do have people that end up on the same season like 2 years in a row. If A, there's content, B, you know, if that wedding hasn't happened yet, you can capitalize on having them go through that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. If they like you, they'll find a show to stick you on.
Basically. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So not surprised at that.
Yeah. So just to go back to the dates, it looks like so that season 7 aired from November 2019 through February of 2020. So, yeah, it does seem as though maybe like I don't know what episodes these things took place, but it does seem like that maybe. They might have been airing very close to when a lot of this stuff is coming to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so close. That explains a lot. That explains this whole season, honestly. Mike's mom, she shows up. Trish, yeah. She talks about birthing him an elephant like we talked about earlier, which, again, I don't know why Natalie didn't turn around and run for the hills right then.
Bears, that's why.
The bears. Oh, yeah.
The bears freaked her out.
And this is the part that was like kind of hilarious to me. Like Natalie was like, I don't get the jokes. I don't like jokes. And I'm like, maybe we have stumbled upon the problem all along. Trish has come in, given us all fresh view of everything. And now we understand that they are having so many problems because Natalie doesn't like jokes.
She doesn't like especially Mike's jokes. And Trish is talking about how she tells us that she's like, oh, Mike, you know, he's just a very fun, happy, jovial kind of guy. And I'm like, not the Mike that I know.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode, I think, rightly showed, again, everything that Puya was talking about last week. Mike is very wishy-washy. He's very two-faced. Everything that you were saying with Lauren last week, he was sweet and nice in front of his mom. And, you know, when we get to the next on, regular Mike comes back. So I really thought that it felt bad because Natalie was trying. She was trying. She was definitely realized that getting through Trish would be a way to get through Mike. They go out and they have dinner, and Natalie still, even at a fancy restaurant in front of his mom, cannot miss the chance of telling him not to do something eating wise. So she tells him not to put the butter on whatever he was buttering. I don't know.
Looked like it was a roll.
A roll. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Rob, is butter good for you?
Yeah. Okay. Well, hold on. Here's Trish that she says that actually butter is good for you. And the producer even has to ask her about this.
Butter is really good for your mind. Real butter is good for your mind. It helps with your memory.
Okay. All right. So I will say that once upon a time, I tried to do keto. And that there are people who are like the real keto gurus who will tell you that, oh, I had like I was thinking better. You know, you have like all these superpowers when you are like basically using fat for energy. That being said, I don't know if Mike is on the keto diet. I think he's still got a lot of carbs coming in. And I think that when you're putting butter on a roll, I'm not sure if it's getting that same usefulness.
You're balancing it out. You're definitely balancing it out. Maybe on a deficit at that point with the brain food. Yeah, this was straight up something a mom would say. My parents, my dad always said, eat walnuts. Walnuts are good for your memory. That I haven't gone to check. I haven't asked the good doctor in the other room about the accuracies of this. But I would trust that more so than butter. And then real butter. So good to know. I can't believe it's not butter. Don't have it. Not good brain food. Waste of your time. Don't do it. So at the start when he tells us we're about to meet his mom, he calls his own mom Mamacita.
Yeah.
I felt some type of way about this.
Oh.
No good? No.
No. Put it in the bin. Don't say that.
Benham.
Did not. Yeah. Big Benham. Did not love that whatsoever at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was not great. I mean, but can we talk about the fact that she, like Natalie, now I have discovered this is her go-to compliment. She calls Trish stylish. Trish is now also Uncle Bo stylish, Trish stylish. Anybody can get it. Anybody, there is no, where's the barometer here? Who's not stylish? Yeah. Maybe the peasant that she's living with, the drunk, low IQ peasant that is Mike is not stylish. But everyone else in this family, stylish, 10 out of 10 apparently.
Yeah, she has a go-to compliment that I had a boss who, that I noticed that he would always say to people like, hey, did you lose weight? Like when you see them after a while. That was like, people are like, oh, really? Oh, thank you. I'm flattered. But then like you hear them say it to like three or four different people and it's like, oh no, this is just the go-to.
Exactly. This is the point where I was like, okay, I don't think she thinks stylish is what she means to be saying. So now
you're saying Trish wasn't stylish, Mari?
Not particularly, but hey, I have no room to talk. So
true.
Sitting here in loungewear.
She was wearing the perfect attire to stand next to Tariq at the airport with the blue on.
Was it powder blue? Yeah.
No, but I feel like they could have complimented each other.
Shades, yeah. A shade range there.
Yeah.
But what did y'all think about in Ukraine? We don't mind silence.
Yes.
That's right for Ron Swanson's heart with that one, which is, let's just eat. And I don't need jokes. Just let me eat the food. I don't care.
That was so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because the show like let it linger for like a beat or two also. And she's like, I'll just sit here. Fine. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the fact that we get a confessional from the mom after the beloved butter incident of 2021, and mm-hmm. she hits us with, I do not see longevity in these two. I think they have too many yeah. things different, and I don't think it's going to be a good thing for them. They're not a good match. But she then not only pushes them to figure out a wedding date, but yep. also goes out of her way to be like, I just want to know when I get grandbabies, damn it. It was like, make up your mind, Trish. Like, what do you eat more butter? Because you don't know what you're saying. You figure yourself out.
Exactly. Everybody in this like dynamic, Mike, Natalie, the mom, they all just don't know what they want. They say one thing, they act another way. They say another thing, they act another way. There's, how can anybody keep up or be on the same page if everybody doesn't know what they truly want from this entire situation? So I found that exactly when they had their confessional, I don't think they're going to last long. After putting mm-hmm. all this hope into Natalie, Natalie was like, thank you so much. You're right. That is, thank you. And I felt so, this is the point that I started to feel bad for Natalie, because I think she really thought she was making headway with Mike and the mom. And she was really trying to make something work or think about making something work. And Mike is just not there, but he's saying all the right things. This is the Mike that's saying all of mm-hmm. the right things. And I do like that she finally said, like, she finally apologized for giving the ring back. She put out that her feelings that she was unsure and insecure. They talked about how the unpacking, like you said, Puya, it was tit for tat. She didn't unpack because he didn't give her the ring back and haven't set a date or anything like that. They are really just finding small ways to hurt each other. And I think they wanted to use this as a step forward. I don't know if it'll work.
How about Trish's actions? Do you feel like, was she like a net positive or net negative? Like, I was trying to like get a read on the situation, and I kind of felt like that she was going to be like just like team Mike. But I did come away that Natalie felt happy with what she was doing with the idea to set the tentative date.
Mm-hmm.
I think that until we found out her true feelings in the confessional, I thought it was right. a big net positive. But yeah. I think all she's done is cut down the timer on the bomb from a minute to 25 seconds. Like, mm-hmm. it's just really like pushed mm-hmm. them closer to like committing. It's clear Mike doesn't want to do this, but you know, mama said I do. So I'm going to do what mama said is the kind of what Mike does. So now they've talked about this date. But I do think that that tit for tat energy, that's not gone anywhere. I think that
right.
Mike clearly still feels hurt about the ring thing. Natalie clearly is so not confident in this that it's been a month that she's still living out of that suitcase that's on the couch. So I do think that still have stuff to clear up. So we could look at it in two lenses. Either it's like, well, it's just pushing the inevitable, or maybe, just maybe, we saw a look into what the road to recovery is with the two of them. And we have to like mm-hmm. see if they're able to pull it off. I'm more skeptical, but I think most of us are, but we'll have to wait and see.
I just really, when they're at the dinner, so they set the date. They yes. set the date for April 3rd. And when she started giving the reasons, like Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, all that, very churchy. I thought Mike was going to push back on that, and he didn't. He caved to the, for the number three. Well, she likes the number
in
three.
In fairness, Mari. So, yes, that number three was very significant for Natalie, mm-hmm. but for Mike also, that, Close Uh-oh. Encounters of the Third Kind is one of the top alien movies that was ever made.
So that's why he was okay with it. That makes sense. That makes sense. And Natalie saying like she doesn't mind not getting married in a church because he's not baptized and she doesn't want it to be a lie. Again, it felt like she was compromising. Like, Natalie seems to compromise when it comes to things like the wedding, the mm-hmm. getting the ring back. But when it comes to stuff like his health and the farm, she kind of pushes. So it's really interesting to see their dynamic when it comes to that. But once they get the date and they tell the mom, who clearly, oh my God, her face this whole time at breakfast when they're saying, oh, we set a date, it's April 3rd. And then the great timing, I don't know if it was great timing or just fortunate timing, of Natalie's mom calling, and then them telling Natalie's mom, and Natalie's mom was clearly very happy. Like, this moment was kind of, I really liked it. I like even started tearing up. I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, oh wait, but these people are so bad for each other. Like, it is just, it was so hard to watch, because I did, you could tell that Natalie, like, her face lit up. She was feeling much better now that they set the date. And his mom was clearly like, like, her face was like, I don't like this. You know, like, she was so skeptical, even when she was on the phone with Natalie's mom. And then once Natalie hung up with her mom and then started breaking down because she missed her mom, and Mike was consoling her. Even Mike looked a little happy there. Yeah, Mike looked a little happy when they were on the phone. And I was just like, it just made me a little sad, because I think this is what, these flashes of this is what keeps them together. But I think this is the exception, not the rule.
I want to go back to Mike's date planning. So Mike's just like spitballing, okay, how about this date? He opens up with, how about April 2nd, which is a Thursday. I mean, okay, yeah. I can understand, like, you go to the hall or you go someplace and they say, actually, like, have you considered a Thursday? Because we can get you a better deal. But Mike's opening offer was, how about Thursday, April 2nd?
Yeah. And then when she said no, the third, I was like, oh, well, will that be a Sunday? And then he was like, oh, no, that's a Friday. I was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's fine.
I'm so happy they didn't go with April 2nd, because then I would have had to share an anniversary with Mike and Natalie. Oh. And I don't think my heart would have been. When he said third, then they said third, I'm like, bet, good enough for me. Like, get out of second. Like, that's all I need to know. Yeah. Yeah, so the whole line, we had this confessional with Natalie saying, you know, I'm okay, like, Mike doesn't want to get baptized, so I'm okay not getting married at the church because it's going to be a lie. Did she mean that him being at the church would be a lie? Like, it wouldn't count? So I was unclear what she meant by that.
I feel like that him not being baptized, even if they got married in the church, it would be a lie. I thought that that's what she's saying.
Like, the church factor wouldn't count anyway.
It wouldn't really matter. Right. If they were married. Okay. Like, getting married in a church would be the same as getting married somewhere else, because it wouldn't really be official because Mike's not baptized in the church.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wonder if Ari and Baby will have to deal with something like that if we see them again. Just
we have to.
The other way.
We have to see them, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that would be funny if you shared an anniversary with them.
Funny is a weird choice of words, Mari. I don't think it'd be upsetting, if anything. I have to share an anniversary. And then Uncle Bo's going to be at this wedding. And I'm going to be like, remember that wedding I didn't have that they had and Uncle Bo was? No, I don't need to share anything with them. Please, I beg.
When I was on my bachelorette party, I found out that my wedding date would be shared with, like, thousands of people, because we picked a date that was a palindrome. And when I tell you, there were so many brides that were on the same date. One of my husband's groomsmen couldn't make our wedding because his cousin got married on the same day. Like, oh, it was such a popular date that just everybody wanted it. So
trendy.
Yes, exactly. And it was good. I picked it. I loved it.
Mari, now that there is a tentative date, shouldn't Mike give the ring back?
He should. He should. I mean, yeah, I don't see how you pick a date, but don't give the ring back.
Yeah, and it's like, I took the ring. I'm not giving you the ring back because we're not getting married. But now we're on a plane. Like, you have to give the ring back. You can't take the engagement ring back when you are now on your way to get married.
Yeah. I don't know how this works. Like, I don't know. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. Again, on the next time on, I think Puya knows a little bit, might have a little bit more on the next time, but it really does not look like this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like they're going to argue right away. I mean, ultimately, Rob, it comes down to the fact that he knows that's the one thing she wants most. And he knows that now. So he can dangle that carrot and get whatever
she
needs.
She loves carrots too. She could just dangle a carrot.
I mean, it would be gone because she would definitely indulge in the carrots. Good breakfast right there. would want to waste that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. Mike is very manipulative, and he's very good at it, which is saddening, but it works for him. And that's not, again, not to, this is the one couple that literally they're both the worst, and they need to put it on ice and move on. I really need them not to do this.
Natalie hates the cold, so she did, don't put her on ice.
That's true. She'll feel too cold. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't help. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mike doesn't care though.
No, he doesn't care about it. The only thing Mike cares about is, did you guys have steak at this restaurant? That's all I care about. I'm Mike. I need the meat. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same. That's it. Somebody clip that.
No, please don't.
You are not going to want to miss us talking about Stephanie and Ryan. That is coming up after this quick break to thank our sponsors. Want to welcome back IP Vanish to the show. What is IP Vanish? Well, that's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN, that's a super important tool to help you safely browse the internet. I guarantee that Ryan has a VPN, okay? You can use your VPN on your computer, your tablet, your phone, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, all encrypted. That's important because what you're doing on the internet, that's none of my business. And it's no one else's business either. IPVanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. IPVanish is just $3.49 a month, just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. You can help protect your online privacy and security. Here's what you get with the IPVanish. Anonymous IP addresses. That means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anybody on the web. IPVanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 plus locations. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi too. Remember, with IPVanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. 24/7 support. Email them, chat with them, even call them. They are there to help. If you remember, these guys supported the show a few weeks ago. They've came back with an even better deal, wanting to offer something special for the new year. You're getting 65% off now. So go to ipvanish.com/Rob to claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. This is the time to sign up with our discount and their current promotion. You can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IPVanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. So show these guys some love. They are repeat sponsors. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/Rob to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. And speaking of protection, want to also thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And now, let's get back to Stephanie on her way to Ladyville to visit Ryan. So Brandon and Julia or Stephanie and Ryan?
Well, we were just talking about that meat. So let's go with Stephanie and Ryan.
Okay. All right. Stephanie and Ryan. Took me a second. Wow. They were off last week, but they came back and they were in the leadoff spot. Did they close the episode also that they had so much screen time for Stephanie and Ryan?
Brandon and Julia closed.
Okay. Yeah. But boy, here comes Stephanie and Ryan. And Stephanie, I don't even understand, Mari, how did we go from the last time we saw them, where they effectively like broke up, I thought, to this time where Stephanie is packing to go see Ryan?
Yeah, the last time we saw him, I was confused. Like, I had to rewind because I was like, did I miss something? Because he came in so hot on that phone call. I was like, whoa, you would have thought he already had found out about Harris the way he was talking to her on that phone call. Like, I was like, she said, oh, you don't care about me. And he was just like, nope. I was very confused. So, I mean, she thinks it's because the distance was getting in the way. So she finally got the orders that she can go to Belize. She arrived on a puddle jumper. I've only been on a puddle jumper like once and never again, but more power to her. And she was wearing a mask with a picture of them on it. Did y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Which my mother, I'm going to probably bring up my mother a lot during this section. Because my mother did the same thing. She got a picture of me and my son on a mask. When I tell you that mask does nothing, like it is literally there for the picture. It it keeps nothing out.
Like a coffee filter.
Yes. And she had it on her face. She lands in Belize. They're all kissing on each other like Corona. Oh my God. That's all I could think of. Just
yeah.
Corona.
Yeah.
And let me just say, I really thought you were kidding, Puya. I must have missed when they said Ladyville, Belize, because when they, mm-hmm. I was like, that's a real place.
Yeah.
On the money.
On the money.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought you were making fun of him.
No.
Yes, but also true.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a reason why he lives there. Yeah.
So she brought him everything.
Yeah.
I lost count. I was trying to write it all down. Shorts, slides, boxers, shades, undies, shoes, the condoms. Again, this is like what happens when my mom goes shopping for me when she leaves the country and she comes back and brings everything. This was a weird dynamic. Like she had underwear for days for him. Those watches. Oh my God. That $3,000 watch was amazing to look at, but I cannot believe she spent all that much money on him. Puya, what from this haul did you want?
Listen, I am not trying to turn an
like
intimate
Yankee
event
swap,
into a...
You can take one of Ryan's gifts?
Yeah.
If I could, I would have hella options. Definitely the first one I will just remove off the list is I'm not trying to have an intimate moment be a neon disco. That's not happening. So I was good with let's why the glow in the Stephanie, you are grown. Well, stop with this nonsense. Why does it need to be glow in the dark?
Yeah.
Like why?
Oh my God.
I'm like, yeah, I was so out on
this. You wanna do this? You wanna go into this? All right, here's Stephanie. Because you know, there are people that listen to the podcast that don't watch the episode. She had a special gift for Ryan that she brought to him.
I brought Sons, not sure if you've been a nasty boy or not. I brought some glow in the dark rubbers.
Oh,
she told me no. I brought glow in the dark tape to tape your ass up, and then I'll put it on for you.
Wait, why? What is the tape for? Now, look, maybe I'm a prude, okay? Maybe I'm not. Maybe, look, I don't know. Maybe this is like some 50 shades of glow in the dark neon stuff that I don't know about. What's the tape for?
I feel like I always end up on these episodes. Like, what is this? Like, how do I can end up on these episodes?
And you can pass. You don't have to answer, Mari.
No, I do not know what they do in their bedroom, and more power to everybody
Booyah,
else.
But... Do I have to go on your stream Friday night, late night to ask what is the tape for?
If you throw, I might not answer it, but you can definitely, that's where you go to submit these kind of thirsty questions. I will say, Rob, it's very clear that the tape is for extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm.
She throws in the joke of, if you don't want to do it, I'm going to make you. So like, that's a thing that is said.
This is like a bondage thing, the tape.
1000% it's a bondage thing. Nowhere else are you using glow in the dark tape. Who wants that? If that's tape is to stick stuff together.
Yeah.
Like you don't need that to be glowing.
Well, I mean, what happened to a scarf? What is that? I mean, that the tape is like, if somebody's going to tie me up, like, is this like some sort of like a hostage situation? Like, please, like I'm going to rip all the hair off my arms.
That's like the least sexiest thing you can use if you're trying to get sexy like that. Like, tape when you rip it off, you're gonna rip off no
yeah it's not, not a good time at all. I gotta imagine she didn't want to like bring handcuffs with her because like then that could raise questions. Tape is a little bit more innocuous. No one's really, they're not gonna, TSA is gonna be like, what's this? You're like, tape. They're like, okay. Like they're not gonna have much yeah. context there.
Well, why does
it.
The tape need to glow in the dark?
What is the rubber? Why is she? First of all, no one's called her a rubber since 1984.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, she's really showing her age a little bit with I brought rubbers
yeah,
for you.
Like I brought. Why do they have to be? Oh, okay. And here's the thing. The TMI gets, you think this is bad audience that haven't watched, but the next line is Ryan talking about how he goes four times a night.
Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah.
Oh, you have it for us? Lovely. Roll the clip.
Please.
Yeah. Here's Ryan talking about just how many of those glow in the dark condoms they're going to need.
You know, I have a lot of stamina. We do it four times a night, six nights straight.
Okay.
She's a bit over the age, but yeah, she keeps up.
What does he mean she's a bit over the age? What a prize this guy is.
Ladyville, man. Good old Ladyville.
She's a bit over what age?
four times a night, six nights straight. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be in anybody's bed or anything like that. Do you? But my God, that sounds exhausting. Good for Stephanie, I guess. All that hula hooping, you know.
Yeah,
he's been practicing for the hula hooping.
Hope she brought some extra youth serum.
Yeah, and like,
yeah.
Why 6 days? Is seventh because like that's God's day? Like yeah. Is that Sunday he takes off? Like that's football day? I don't know what which day. I need to for my personal reasons. I need to know which day is the off day. What's the bye day? Like which day is he not doing? Are they not doing the business?
You should do 3 days on and then a break and then 3 days on.
Jovi style. That's Jovi style right there. You do it for the first half, then you leave for the second half. Then you come back the next half.
Split it up. But this is a relationship that has a lot of trust issues. And it really sounds like that the reason for the rubbers being so important is that it really makes it sound like that Stephanie is not trusting that Ryan hasn't picked something up along the way.
Yeah. 10 months that they said this is the longest they've been apart from each other. So yeah, she's basically underhandedly saying, I don't trust you. That's why we got all these rubbers.
She's like, I don't know if you've been a nasty boy, but I brought these.
And then again, I still can't take her seriously with all these accusations when she has that deep, deep, dark skeleton in her closet.
Yeah,
so she asks to see Ryan's phone. He gives her he lets her see it, points out his cousins and his sisters, said he'll take the passwords off of it. Rob, have you had to take your password off your phone?
No, I have. I mean, I have the four digit number. I'm pretty sure Nicole knows it if she needed to get in there. I think it would be very boring to go through my phone. I mean, she could feel free to go in there and write back to on a bunch of these messages that I get. Take some a little bit of a load off of my plate. But I have to think he seemed way too willing to do this.
Oh yeah,
this was sus, Puya.
Big sus. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the way he presented it, and then later said, "Oh, I've taken the password off for the time that you're here." That screams to me, I knew this was coming from. By the way, I deleted everything. I will say, when she was like, who is Kelsey SC? And he was like, that's my cousin. I was like, you liar. SC is short for Snapchat. That's Kelsey from Snapchat, whose number you got saved. You are lying out here. Could be your cousin, but I think you're lying.
Yeah, in fairness. Yeah, all of Ryan's cousins are also sus, also based on what we know from Stephanie.
Everybody sus.
Oh, snap. Yes. Yeah. Good old cousin Harris.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad he's at least smart enough to do this. You know what I'm saying? Because some of the people on shows like this, they're not even smart enough to erase their history. So he's not an amateur. He's a professional sneak. So
Tariq didn't do it. Tariq left his messages with Minty on the phone. Exactly. He should have taken a note from Ryan.
Exactly.
So
take notes from the dude from Ladyville.
Yeah. Ryan got so much stuff from Stephanie that did Stephanie even bring any clothes for herself? That the entire suitcase was all gifts. She's like Santa.
Yeah, I didn't see anything for her. And this was this should have been a YouTube. She should have been
unboxing.
She should have unboxed it. it just showed everything. There was just so much stuff. I've never seen that much stuff. Oh my gosh.
Hey everybody, it's your boy Ryan. I got a new suitcase from Stephanie today. So we're going to go through it and see what else we have. Oh, here's another watch. Okay. Throw this over here. Don't need that.
Right.
No, he was ungrateful. Listen to this.
But to be honest, I would rather have the money than all these gifts.
It's not the Price is Right. You don't get to just trade in the value of the gifts for cash.
Wow. So ungrateful. And then the little buffs. Was that
yeah,
the buff?
She liked that. She was just like when we first met and she put it on him. Yeah. She was into that.
We also found out that Ryan really likes skulls. I got this for Ryan. I know he likes skulls, so he's going to like this.
Yeah, I can't wait, because we all know that he is going to lose these items along the way. There is no way
he loses. Like, I know that you lose things all the time.
That's a great personality trait to get assumed on. Oh, he loses things because that pawn shop gonna make bank.
Yeah,
he's gonna make bank. Mm-hmm. Don't tell him that this is a $3,000 watch, because now he knows what the worth is. So that was a mistake on your part. Very clear, though, that gone grateful, but he's being honest. Like, this is Stephanie's way of thinking, I'm going to keep this man by giving him gifts. It's very clear that his love language is 1,000% physical touch, because they were apart for 10 months and this relationship was gone. And then even Stephanie was like, I'm not going to break up until I see him in person, because then I'll know. But her love language is gift giving, because she really just wants to, like, she wants to pay his wages, pick out his watches, put little shorts on him, get him design underwear, but then also the boxers that he likes. They are not compatible as far as the languages of love have to say something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it just came off like she was his mother, just picking him stuff up and giving it to him. That was so weird to me.
Yeah, when she's like holding the shirts up to him, like, okay, I got this one for you. Here's this one. Yeah, super awkward. Everything.
Your impression is taking me out.
It's getting better, Rob. It's scarily getting better, I must admit.
She also, this is in the opening of the episode. We got to see, I love Stephanie with her cats. Yes. This was her, I don't know what she was doing here.
Yeah, exactly. Baby bird.
Yeah, she called her cat baby bird and turkey.
It's turkey.
In the span of like a minute.
What?
This cat goes by everything but its name. We're told it's Cooper. Could have fooled me. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
They go to dinner. And that they're going to have some drinks. And then she asks him, she's like, so did you know I was going to ask you for the phone? And then he's like, no, it did not. It did not.
And then she's like, well, that's the one thing we've been having fights about. So you didn't think about the phone? I was just sitting here like, girl, I don't know. I don't know what you want from him. He clearly was professional enough to show you the phone to ease you down, so these 2 weeks can be enjoyable, so he can get his 4 nights a week, 6 days in. So at this point, what else do you want? I mean, it might have been a lot of projection, because she still has that secret. Because I think that was the same confessional. She was like, I still have to find the right time to tell him about Harris.
Yeah. Wait, what do you think Ryan's reaction is going to be about the Harris bomb?
I think he is going to be mad. And I think it's going to be explosive. Imagine being in a spot where you have had to go out of your way to delete all your content, mm-hmm. and you're not on constant surveillance, as if you're, you know, being invigilated for an exam, only to end up finding out that the invigilator has been cheating the whole time. Like, that's a problem. And again, it's with his cousin. It's not like with someone he don't know. This is someone he's probably like played video games with. Like, this is not a great spot to be in at all whatsoever. We're going to have problems. But this is a good time for me to quickly segue us into 90 Day Bears All from this week.
Oh.
Yeah. So we had two things that happened on this episode. One was they brought in Rebecca to kind of like talk about some social media stuff that's like people talking about their relationship. Nothing too serious there. They did talk about the next time on, which we'll talk about at the end. But then they introduced us to Ryan's, like, you know, because Ryan didn't really have a proper introductory, like, package of here's who he is. So they had that. And he talked a lot about how a lot of his friends have, you know, met American women and have gotten married and left to America. And they did it really quick. And his relationship's taking way too long. And he kept saying, I can't wait to see America. I'm excited for America. So I think I'm comfortable enough at this point to say that Ryan is trying to look for that ticket of Stephanie. And now we know why he's out here willing to let her look at his phone. This is his ticket out. So I do think that even with the cousin thing, it's not like a clean exit. It's like, oh, I have to look elsewhere. I do think so. So that was very interesting to see. I'm so excited, because the other thing I can share is that next week on 90 Day Bears All, they're going to have the exclusive interview with Cousin Harris.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Rob, you might have to slide me that password.
Yes,
then.
You got it. Yeah. We got to check that out. Cousin Harris on 90 Day Bears All, yeah. Discovery Plus, pulling out all the stops. Can I take a second though to rant about TLC for one moment? Because
yes.
Mari, last You're week free. We were talking about Dr. PP.
Oh, I love Dr. Pipple Popper.
No, yes. Because Dr. PP that was advertised all over the place, ooh, this week, and these commercials are getting more and more graphic. That stop it. We know what Dr. PP is. I don't watch it on purpose. Stop with your big swinging pus filled things that are just like dangling around. And they're like, it's even the commercials are like, oh, it's even wetter. Like, stop it. Stop it, Dr. PP. I wish I had a block button on my TV.
I get that. I have a medical background. I am a medical laboratory scientist. So it is literally my job to see the grossest thing. There it was. And I love Dr. Pimple Popper. I love it. I will watch that. I started watching that feet one. There's one about feet. My feet are killing me. That one I might have to let go. That one is a little much.
That's where you draw the line. It's the feet.
It might be the feet.
Yeah.
I'm with Rob on this one. I mean, there's a reason. I mean, outside of not having access to TLC itself, there's a very valid reason why I watch the episodes the next day, and it's to skip on all of that.
Yeah.
So I lose out on knowing the information about the commercials, but then I hear them from Rob, and I'm like, my life's fine. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this arrangement.
Yeah. Does Liana like Dr. Pimple Popper?
I think she's watched some. Liana is shockingly okay with gross stuff like that. So I think that Liana would be okay with it too, oddly enough. But I mean, yeah. I wouldn't take anything different from someone who thinks sprinkles are something that should be valid.
So gross.
So
I can't even get through the commercials.
That is so funny.
All right.
Did we even talk about him popping the question?
Oh, stop with popping. No more popping.
See?
Yeah, yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
That segue, though, at what cost?
Yeah, so she brought him the ring so that he could do it. Mari, is he going to ask the question?
I mean, like Puya said, he kept saying very confidently, I'm going to make it to the U.S. I'm coming to the U.S. And Stephanie was like, that's the man I fell in love with. Girl, he didn't say he was coming for you. He said, I am coming to the U.S. I will be there. Make no mistake. And I'm like, he's not saying your name anywhere in that sentence. Like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. So even if he pops the question or not, he's going to make his way to the U.S. and maybe we'll see him on a... the new iteration of 90 Day.
Yeah. Well, this is when he talked about when they got into that fight that he had a plan.
I have a plan. And man, this plan is so sweet. So you need to think about what you really want.
Oh, and your sweet plan involves what? Do you want to come over to America and start screwing women?
I don't know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he has a sweet plan, but we don't know
what
it is.
Hear this plan.
I think she figured it out without any clues. I think she just like, I would like to answer the puzzle and nailed it. Like,
no, that's not it. Yeah.
His phone's open. She can verify that the phone is empty. So that's good, at least. Yeah, I think everything would have rid smooth until this Cousin Harris info comes out. So we'll see how many days in between this dinner and that revelation. Yeah. Maybe there was enough time to rekindle everything that it gets okay.
But do you think that he responds to Cousin Harris news with A, like, all right, well, like, do you know how many different women I've been with since we started? Like, does he A, not care that much if he's not really interested in Stephanie? Or B, does he like go over the top and then like sort of like reveal all the skeletons in his closet and then try to make her mad?
Is there any way that he doesn't know already?
He might be tight with Harris.
Yeah. I think there's door number C where he see, hears this and immediately goes, I want to milk this for all it's worth. And then,
oh, like, how could you do this to me?
I wish I could wipe my tears. If only I had a $5,000 to do it,
Ryan,
that would really.
How could I make this up to you? You need more watches.
I like that she was like, this watch goes perfectly with that shirt I got him. I was like, Stephanie, he's not wearing watches like this. Like,
yeah.
It's not a thing.
How many watches does he need? I mean, he must have at least 20 watches.
He has a lot of watches.
I feel like, how many watches does an average person, if you're a watch person, first of all, I think you have yourself like a stylish piece and a Fitbit, then you're set, right? Mm-hmm. Like at best, a smartwatch and that, and you're fine. Mm-hmm. So I don't think beyond that, it's just either you're just living in clutter or you're selling them. Like there's no other avenue.
Yeah.
Definitely like a casual, expensive and.
Right. Beyond that, it's like it's just ridiculous. Or like you have like a pocket watch because you thought it was like, you know, vintage and fun. Like you're like, I got one of these. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think I probably have like three or four, but I would say probably two or three do not have working batteries. More annoying to replace a battery than just, I guess I need a new watch. Yeah. Where's Stephanie? Okay. Brandon and Julia. Boy, things really got tense for Brandon and Julia. And no Ron and Betty this week. Mari, did you miss Ron and Betty?
No, not at all. So, guys, listening to y'all cover Brandon and Julia has been so amazing. I said on Twitter, me, Sasha, Jenny, we're going to like do a rescue mission to go and get Julia up out of there because there is just like, this is so unfair. I feel so bad for her. Like Brandon put her and both of them in like just the most impossible spot. Like, how do you not tell her? One, we have to stay with my parents for a while because I don't have the money. We saw that on the first episode. She was talking about, she's like, oh, I'm not too comfortable living with your parents. And he was just like, it's just for a little while. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he's telling us direct to camera, I don't have enough money. We're going to have to be here for at least a few months or so. Not telling her. Then the parents say, oh, is Julia excited to come and work on the farm? And he's like, oh, I think she is. Cut to him not telling her anything about working on the farm. And then she gets here and now they're expecting her to get up at the crack of freaking dawn and go out there and feed animals. I feel so bad for her. Like he wants a wife. He found her to be a wife. She is not an indentured servant. She is not a farmhand. Like, what are we doing here? And I want her. I like them together. Like last episode, they were so cute together, but they have to get from under his parents. They have to.
Julia was very busy with all of the chores and she just had it. She got to her breaking point. She talks to her dad. And then dad basically says, like, you know, he needs to step up here and make this right. And so Julia ends up with calling Brandon on the phone. And I thought that Brandon, you know, he's got some big Andrew energy here also where he's just like, she's like, Brandon, I hate this. I hate farm. I hate animal. I smell like pig. And she's over it. And he's like, where is this coming from? So you know how many people love little cute animals? Like, where is this phobia of animals? I don't get it.
From the crickets in the kitchen all the way to that hairless cat that Aspen has, there is not one cute looking animal that I've seen. Maybe the chickens are a sight for good eyes. Everything else got a little bit of a, you know, grain of salt. Shout out to, the 90-day Twitter page put out a tweet. Julia was also dirty from gardening that morning. Betty thought she would prefer that over working with the animals. So now they got her gardening and getting her hand all up in manure
garden.
And dirt. Like, she's done. She's over this.
Yeah.
I mentioned last week, my whole thing was, she is going to win this war because she's going to get them all up out of there. And this immediate ultimatum was the perfect way to go. I don't even understand where Brandon's coming from with the whole, what's wrong with taking care of some cute animals? You know she doesn't like this. That's why you were bringing her tea every day to like at least salvage some kind of relationship here. You don't know what you are doing. And I just shout out to Julia's dad for really that morning just giving her the courage she needed to slap him up the face with this. With the verbal.
Yeah, the way he just kept saying cute animals, I'm like, sir, get out of here. That was so condescending. Like, this is not cute animals. This is not dogs and puppies and kittens. This is hard manual labor that you have brought this woman over to the U.S. to do without her knowing beforehand. Like, I don't want to make light of this situation. Like, they really did basically, he like bamboozled her as to what type of life they were going to be living on this side. And I am just so upset for her. And the fact that he's like, I don't understand what's wrong. Why don't you want to take care of these cute animals? Don't you want to get up at 5 a.m.? Oh, it just must be easier for me. Yes, because you were born into this. This isn't her life. She was a go-go dancer.
I feel like you're just making this harder than it has to be. I mean, I don't know why you just don't take care of the animals and sleep in your own room and not ask any questions about the rules my parents have and just do whatever we say.
Gaslighting. Yeah. The gaslighting. Oh, yeah. My God.
I mean, if you're Brandon, you're living your best 16-year-old dream. You get to, at night, you say goodnight to the person you're having relations with. You get to slide into bed, play some Fortnite, sneak in some hot chocolate for the evening, and then go to work the next day and make money. And then you come home and mom's made food. Like, literally, he's living the life he's always dreamed of when he was 16. Mm-hmm. And he's not willing to let that go quite yet.
He tells us that she's like, you know, Julia just doesn't realize how lucky we are that, you know, we get to live on this farm for free while I make money for our life. And she's not lucky.
No. And I think the biggest thing is his parents, like, they are so like Betty, that whole discussion y'all had last week about the hot tub.
Yeah, the hot tub.
I was so confused. I watched that segment like twice. It wasn't until you guys like broke it down that I understood. I was like, so are you mad that they were naked or not naked in the hot tub, but then the water is cloudy? And then I was so confused. Like, these rules are so annoying. I feel like they just do whatever they can to harp on her all the time. Just harp on her. Julia, you have to do this. You have to do this. I don't understand why you're not doing this. She's not doing it because she was not prepped for any of this. And then also the debate about the Mother's Day. So what happened is they wanted the wedding for May 9th of last year, 2020. I think what Betty was saying is you don't want your anniversary to be on Mother's Day, because their first wedding anniversary would be the next year and May 9th would then move to be Mother's Day, which is still completely unreasonable. Like you guys pointed out, like, it doesn't matter if their anniversary is on Mother's Day. It doesn't matter if it might fall on Mother's Day 7 years from then. Like, girl, Mother's Day anniversary, it's okay. They can have their wedding whenever they want to. And to suggest anything else is just rude and annoying. So I just can't believe, please, the next time on, oh my God, I just can't, I'm so upset.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, how come it's unreasonable for Betty to not want their wedding to be on May 8th when Puya wouldn't even let Mike and Natalie get married on April 2nd?
Well, it's different for me. You know, it's different because I get to celebrate being with the love of my life. And then I'd have to share that with someone who believes in aliens and someone who thinks carrots for breakfast and no butter is good. And then someone whose mom thinks that butter is the mind food that you need to get through this world. And then this is also where Uncle Bo is flipping Calvin Klein out here. No, the less connections I have with this family, the happier I will be. So I had to. I would take. Now, if you told me I would share an anniversary with Brandon and Julia, that'd be a little bit more comedy. I'd be here for that. But I crossed the line with Mike and Natalie. Real quick, so we got a bit of news this last week with regards to
what do we got?
With regards to Ron and Betty.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't sure if we were is this public knowledge or you have a scoop?
This is okay. So this is public knowledge in the sense that if you are indulging in the Reddit or the Twitters, or you have, you have connect that come into your DMs like me, you know, this
I got
stuff.
This also from a couple of couple different sources telling me some. Are you ready for some hot gossip about Ron and Betty?
Do we need the spoiler alert song or
not? It's a spoiler.
This will enhance your content consumption. So if you're worried about knowing stuff off the show,
it'll blow your mind.
I would recommend take it. I would recommend stay with us. It's worth it.
It's gonna pop your mind like Dr. PP.
All right, Rob. I want you to have the honors. I want
you'd be more professional. Okay. Yeah.
We'll see. You know
where the line is better than I do.
So turns out, you know, last week we were here with Lauren and we talked about why did they have two big suitcases? Why were they back the next morning? What was the deal with this trip? So somebody who I believe knows Betty in real life and says that she goes by Elizabeth in the real world has come to social media to say, Elizabeth, aka Betty and Ron, are swingers and the farm they've purchased is primarily used for doomsday prepping. But I'd focus on the first thing more because wow.
What?
Yeah. So so that hot tub therapy, there's a party. There's a party in that therapy session is what I'm saying. Apparently, they've been going to swingers cruises for years. And they would often leave Brandon unattended for a week while he was in high school at home. So that's the thing they would do. And she would use the company card for the workplace they shared. Betty did with this person. She would use the company card to get those big jugs of pretzels for her office. So.
Oh, that is very petty. That last part.
I know, it's like clearly they've been holding on to this information for years. Like, I need someone to know.
Was reported on the Reddit. I don't want to say that we are not breaking this story.
Someone put screenshots from another post off of some Facebook post that this person came up with onto the Reddit.
Yeah,
my mind is popped. I cannot believe it.
So yeah, this is wild. Because you would feel like, and again, I don't want to like make an assume. But you know, there are rules about like, hey, we just don't think that under our roof, our rules, a man and a woman are not married, that they should not be sleeping in the same room. But meanwhile, suitcase. Yeah. Well,
technically.
Now we know everybody's naked in the hot tub.
We use this for therapy.
Cleansing the soul as one does. I feel like, you know, maybe the loophole here, if you confront Betty with this, is Betty would be like, well, I am married, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. Ron's married. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So I guess like if Brandon and Julia were married to somebody else, they'd be allowed to stay in the same room at this farm. I don't know. The rules are wonky at best. This was wild. Shout out to the mental images that I'm scarred with now.
Right. Yes, exactly. I'm just sitting here like shocked. My head is like, I am.
I need a hot tub for the mind.
How dare they? How dare they be so judgmental to this young woman? And they're over here not to judge, but
no,
like,
who you?
Like, I don't understand. Like, how do you? And then your son doesn't even seem like he understands the mechanisms of sex. Like, I don't. How do we get here?
Yeah.
How do we get where they're so well versed, but their child is just a child?
Yeah.
In man form. I just don't understand.
To go back to when they set up that room for Julia, they did have that candy bowl full of condoms ready to go.
Oh, that bowl was used for sure. Yeah, it was a key bowl for a long time at this here farm.
Ron and Betty, I would think you were cool if you weren't being such dicks, to be quite honest.
Yes, I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. If they led with this, I would have been like, okay, interesting. But to know them to be such nuisances to then hear this is just
wild. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow.
For Brandon and Julia, you know, things really took a turn. Julia tells Brandon, I hate you now. I hate you. I hate it here and I hate you. And then he comes home and that she basically, she goes, I hate this place. You don't want to marry me. You don't want to stay with me. You don't fix. She's tired of this. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. And he promises he's going to fix it. He's going to tell his parents they're going to leave.
That next time on, Ron's veins were popping. Emphasis on the popping.
His hand was so close to Brandon's face. I was like, if these cameras weren't here, I don't know what would be happening right now.
I don't understand Ron. From the beginning, I thought Betty's the heavy, and Ron's kind of like her pit bull. And I just feel like Ron is like in this position where with Brandon, he's really trying to be an alpha, but I don't think he's an alpha otherwise. I don't know. He just seems way too angry out of nowhere for me. But
yeah.
I from the beginning, I didn't envy being in Brandon's position, but I know he's done it to himself. I know that what we heard in the beginning was that he's in debt and like his mom paid for the ticket for Julius. So I don't know how they're going to magically fly out of this farm. I appreciate the hustle and I look forward to it for my own content, but yikes o'clock striking next week for sure.
Yeah. And I think Lauren's point from last week where she said she thinks Ron is kind of putting on for the cameras to seem more demure than he actually is. I think we've crossed that line where we realize like he is not timid like he originally came across. Him and Betty, they're lockstep. They are definitely lockstep.
One and the same.
Yeah. And I can't believe she's crying like, I don't understand why Julia would make you choose. I can't believe this is happening. You can't believe this is happening, Betty? Really? After you've done bullied this girl for the past 2.5 weeks, you didn't see this coming?
What is the big deal? Like, we're getting an apartment. We're moving out. Like, he's not moving to Russia with her.
Right. Exactly.
Like, they're going to get their own place. You'll see them.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. This reaction, I want to see the episode because I'm just like, this is what happens when you push people too far. I guess they're not used to it because they're used to just steamrolling over Brandon and him taking it. But now that Julia's in the picture and she wants him to actually stand up and all of that, like they're shocked. Like they can't believe he would actually stand up to them. And, and Julia's the big baddie, like you guys are talking about. Like,
yeah,
please watch this show, y'all, because y'all have just been not coming off well. And it's just not fair. It's not fair to Brandon and Julia. Yeah.
Could I write the Black Mirror Twilight Zone version of this for Julia where she and Brandon go and get their own apartment and then, breaking news, doomsday, everybody back to the farm because they're the only ones prepped. And now Julia and Brandon have to sleep and they never end up getting married, have to sleep in their own rooms forever because not married. They can't share a room. And then Julia's got to work on the farm for, you know, all the days.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
I forgot about that. I was so stuck on the other part. I forgot they're doomsday preppers. Wow. It's just a lot. That is a lot.
Yeah. I do feel like, though, if you were a doomsday prepper, I feel like that, you know, there were all these shows like I'm sure TLC probably had their share of like doomsday preppers. Look at these wacko idiots. I think I'd have like big Amira's dad energy. Like, oh, you thought I'm so dumb. Look at us now.
Hey, I think doomsday preppers are smart. If I had the money and the resources, I'd do it too, to be quite honest. I used to love watching those shows. The best I can do is hoard up on zombie apocalypse weapons. That's about it.
Weapons? Zombie apocalypse? Well, what's a good zombie apocalypse weapon?
Oh, y'all don't come to my house. We have a few machetes. We got the long swords. We got it all. We're like Tariq.
Tariq one?
Yeah.
Tariq. Yeah.
Like Tariq.
Do you chop we're up collectors. Lettuce with that? Do you make salad with it?
Okay. No, we're collecting.
Just Tariq then.
Yes. You're not don't put your blade on some dirty lettuce. What are you doing, sir?
Mm-hmm. We didn't get to see Tariq and Hazel this week. They should be back next week. Mari, you have any thoughts on Tariq and Hazel?
Oh, I love Tariq and Hazel just because I like their interactions. They're hilarious. Tariq, hot sauce, hella hot sauce, I guess would be the way to put it.
Oh yeah.
I do like them. I hope they work out. I really do. The whole thruple thing of it though, I think that's going to be hard to manage, but it looks like in the scenes for next week that they're going to be looking for a third. And Tariq says up top that, you know, jealousy, we got to make sure jealousy is not a thing. Yeah. So maybe it'll work out. I love following them.
They got to talk to Ron and Betty, because I think Ron and Betty sound like they have it all figured out. You know, maybe they could like give them some advice on how to handle this.
I think that they were at the door of it. I think Tariq just didn't recognize that, hey, maybe we don't speak in a language that Hazel doesn't understand. Maybe that would help. Mm-hmm. So as long as they're all using English, they might be in a better spot. And I couldn't decide if him saying that jealousy line was more that he's going to get jealous or he's like taking a shot at Hazel for getting jealous last time.
Yeah, a shot at her. That's what I was thinking.
That makes more sense that way.
Yeah. Look, again, at the risk of being called somebody who is just, you know, not with it. I feel like that for Tariq and Hazel, that I think that they have like bigger fish to fry than who's Hazel going to have as her girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot more going on that they need to sort out before they get there. I'm surprised that they're already at this one. But
yeah,
exactly.
It's not like she's already seeing somebody and how do we work this in? She's like, yeah, okay, well, it's time to add to this.
Yeah. My biggest worries is so what about Ari? Like, how are you, you have a child that, as far as I remember, Tariq is isn't he the
primary caregiver.
Yeah. So that, not the lifestyle itself, but she's just meeting Hazel, and then you're going to try and get her to meet somebody else. That's what I'm more like, okay, y'all got to definitely think this through. I did like your coverage on them when they first came out about the whole bisexual thing and him not like, just because she's bisexual didn't mean they had to go and get a third. It's like, that's not how bisexuality works.
Right.
You know? Yeah, exactly. They're doing this because they're choosing to do this. And it does seem like she's interested in it. So it doesn't feel like it's put on or icky in that sense. So it's just that she didn't like that whole language thing. So I'm interested. I want to keep seeing it going. I love a good Tariq and Hazel moment.
But let me ask just this question. Like, I feel like that they also need to like have a DTR on the, is Hazel having a girlfriend or is this a throuple?
Right. Maybe they need to define that for sure.
Because I feel like they have different ideas on things.
It sounds like when Hazel speaks on it, it sounds like my girlfriend. And then Tariq is kind of just like the connect. He's going to you know, be the guy that's scrolling for them. But it's her. So I don't know. They need to figure it out. Rob, what I need to happen, and I don't know if it's the Liana effect. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
They can't be living in this clutter. Like, this is the Tariq's house bothers me. It looks like half storage unit, half like one guy lived there. And I need this nightmare to stop. So I hope before the thruple gets added, before Ari, him and Hazel have a new Minty on their hands, they need a Minty fresh pillow. They need a new house.
Wait, is Liana a minimalist?
No, she's just very tidy, which is not a bad thing. That sounds like I'm complaining. It's not. But it has rubbed. I feel like it's rubbed off on me because I definitely was very low key about it. I'm still probably not up to Liana's standards, but definitely have a new appreciation for it. Just to the point where I saw Tariq's ass, I was like, I could never. So it's just a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are my feelings.
Anything else 90 Day Fiance related?
Whew, wow, this was good. This is such a good season. I was saying from like the jump that once we were introduced to Brandon and Julie, I was like, oh yep, this season is complete. We didn't get any Rebecca and Zied this episode.
Oh yeah, they were off too this week.
Yeah, they're off too. It's weird. I when I say I like a story for like 90 Day Fiance, I mean I like what I'm getting. It's not like I don't feel uncomfortable, even if I hate those people. I like keeping up with them. And with Rebecca and Zied, I want them to work out because I like Rebecca. I remember liking her on before the 90 days or whatever season they were on previously. And I do like Zied. I really do just think he's a calm guy who just doesn't talk that much. I just think I think he's getting a whole bunch of crap from her friends and family that as of right now, he does not deserve. Like as of right now, I don't think he deserves it. I think if his goal was just to come to America, this wouldn't be it. He wouldn't be trying to rush back home so soon. You know what I'm saying? So I like Zied. I like Rebecca. I hope they don't let the outside stuff, you know, get in between them. Mm-hmm. But also we're going to get out of here before we talk about the 90 days, the single life.
Oh,
let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what is 90 days, the single life?
Okay. So there's a commercial for it during this episode of 90 Day Fiancé, and it's 90 Day, the single life, and it's following different 90 Day people as they date around. And you know, they caught me hook like line and sinker because the first face they showed on it was Brittany from Brittany and Yazan. I was like, I know everybody else hates her, but I don't care. I want to see her. I want to see her single. I want to see her out here dating. I can enjoy her now that somebody's life isn't hanging on in the balance. I want to see the mess. I want to see the drama. And then they followed it up with Big Ed. Like, what are we doing here? Just sign me up. Sign me up right now.
Listen, no one dislikes Brittany more than me. But I definitely recognize that they know exactly what they're doing with the cast. Yes. So there's going to be, not only is it going to be Molly, there's going to be Big Ed, Fernanda, Danielle, and Brittany, and Colty. And Colty's back in the mix. Like, they really know what to do. They really know what they're doing with this. And if they wanted people to get Discovery Plus, this is the way to do it.
Yes.
Goes without saying, when this starts, I will be watching, and then we might do some side coverage of this as well, because there is no world where Big Ed's back on TV and we're not going to talk about it.
I know. Yeah. And then the commercial wrap, Big Ed was talking to some girl and he was sending her home, and she went for a hug and he went for a kiss, and it was the most awkward.
Sounds amazing.
I've seen it my entire life. And Big Ed, he's let his hair grow out.
Mm-hmm.
He's let his hair grow out.
It sounds amazing. 90 Days of Single Life is going to premiere on Discovery Plus, Disco Plus, on February 21st, it looks like.
Yes.
Oh, a couple of weeks away. Probably
day before my birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to me.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Did they ask if it would be okay to have it on your birthday?
They didn't. It's the day before, so I'll allow it. If they had, I would have said, yes, please. This would be me giving the world a gift, aside from myself being born, not like being an elephant born, but just a human born, not like mm-hmm. So it would have been fine.
Okay. Well, this was so much fun. Mari, so nice to have you with us talking some 90 Day Fiance.
Of course. I love it. I'm so glad to be watching. I'm so glad to be following along with you guys. I listen every week because I'm always with you on everything. So I'm glad I got to come in and talk a little bit. Thank you guys for having me.
Okay. Mari, of course, you could check out the wrestling wrap up at robiswebsite.com. Mari, what else is going on?
So, we just had a guest. We just had Chantel Francis mm-hmm. on our show for the second episode. Our episode this week is going to be big. It's going to be a big one. Rob is just finding this out too. It's right before the Royal Rumble. So we're going to have two guests on it, two mm-hmm. heavy hitters. And we're going to cover everything you need to know about the Royal Rumble going into the pay-per-view. So I'm excited. Please come on and follow us on the Wrestling Rehab Up. In your rehab reality TV feeds.
Yeah, and it's a great place to jump in. Even if you are not a wrestling super fan, but are curious and want to get on board as we head towards WrestleMania, it's a good jumping in point with Mari and Matt.
Yep. We say we're for the casual fans, the lapsed fans, and for the expert fans, the IWC. So please just come over, give us a listen. Let us know what you think. You can always submit feedback or questions at wrestling@robhasawebsite.com.
Yeah.
And you can always get in touch with us on Twitter at #WrestlingRehapUp. Or you can follow me at Mari Talks Too Much, to like the number two on Twitter.
Yeah. And Mari, I was listening to the new episode this morning, and I'm just constantly impressed with your wealth of knowledge in this area. It's incredible.
Thank you. I love wrestling. I've loved it since I was, again, 10. I used to read about it all the time. So even if it's stuff I didn't watch live, I've gone back and watched. I am not a historian. I do not pertain to be the ultimate expert. And what we do, what our show is not about, like, being experts and analyzing it. It's about having fun, talking about the things that make us happy, talk about how wrestling is so weird and whimsical. And that's where we're at. If you want something serious or hard hitting, there's plenty of podcasts out there for you. Mm-hmm. But our wrestling podcast is going to be about being fun, exposing people to the product, and getting as many people on board with us as possible.
Okay, cool. Check it out. Wrestling Rehab up mm-hmm. on robhasawebsite.com and in the RehapUps feed. And Puya, yep. what's next for you?
Well, I just talked Masked Dancer with the aforementioned Liana Boris. We caught up with everything up to episode 4. They're about to embark on the Super 6. So that's very exciting stuff. Should be fun. It's been goofy so far. What we did talk about that, so people can check that out. And then otherwise, outside of us talking about 90 Day Rob, I'm busy streaming over on twitch.tv/Puyaism. It's a little bit of Among Us. It's a lot of talking, hanging out. This last week, I had a personal challenge with my friend Phil T, and we decided to embark on a vegetables-only diet.
Oh, no, the Mike and Natalie challenge.
Mike and Natalie.
That's where it stemmed from, yeah. It was pretty much fruits and vegetables, and then with condiments, we went Big Brother rules, so like anything that they allowed, we allowed. And beverages were like you could do whatever you want with them, so I could get away with having my coffee with a little bit of milk. But ultimately, that finished yesterday, last night. So it was very fun. We're going to talk about that tonight it's going to be a double date over on the Banter Debrief. Me, Phil, Liana, and Jenny present. So it'll be fun.
Only fruits and vegetables, or I mean, Mike and Natalie is no meat,
right? So no meat, no bread. It was just fruits and vegetables.
What about
it
butter?
Was full on. Yeah, no, I ate the amount. I've ate like 5 different types of beans in this past week. It's been a whole thing. But no, it was doable. It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be at all. Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
Yeah,
and then that's about it. Of course, Masked Dancer. We will talk about the finale. We have heard news of Masked Singer coming back in March, so that's exciting stuff. And then, in the event that whenever this new 90 Day stuff comes out, we'll talk about that too. So I'll keep busy. I'm having fun out here, living my best life.
Yes. Also, we are going to be hearing from Puya this weekend on Robin and Kim Need a Podcast. Something came up called AITA, which is short for Am I the A-Hole? That we will hear from some listeners. They'll have some situations, and we will try to break down who is the A in that situation. So that should be a lot of fun. And for the Robin's Podcast patrons, Puya was holding it down, hosting our patron mafia game on Friday night. That's up for patrons as well, and that was a lot of fun.
It really was. I do enjoy myself with those. Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun just sitting there, getting to watch people play. You know, giving commentary on what you think is going to happen, and then being wrong is fun. Getting you know, jabs sent your way is fun. I definitely enjoy all of that has to offer. And also, for those of you who have caught yourself in a position where you're like, "Am I the a-hole?" Let us know. Go to if you're listening to this, go over to my Twitter, twitter.com/Puyaism. And the link should be up there if you want to submit last second in the form. That would be fun for us to discuss over on this weekend. Very excited to make my way back to RENAP, especially after being finding out that there's a new application process that I'm going to have to go through with my personal life thanks to RENAP now. So excited to dive into all that this weekend.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week to talk more 90 Day Fiancé. Take care. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from GEICO. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. But fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's geico.com. Easy.